Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON.
Yeah. I want a baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, shooting shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I want a ball, I like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, shooting shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.
Hey guys, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Troy Halliburton. And today I'm going to talk about the Wizards' loss to the Indiana Pacers. The Wizards actually lost 121 to 106. And, you know, the game was never really that close from the opening tip all the way to the final buzzer. The Indiana Pacers pretty much dominated the Washington Wizards. And, you know, I don't think that the game really should have gone like that. You know, the Wizards had ample opportunities to get themselves back in the game. They even had a stretch in the third quarter where I believe it was about 5 minutes left in the third quarter where the Pacers got up to they got up 20 points. And then the Wizards went on a little bit of a run, and they were never really able to get the lead down below single digits. They actually stopped the Pacers from scoring for about a 6 minute stretch from the end of the third quarter going all the way into the fourth quarter, and they just never were really able to make up the proper ground to have a real comeback on their hands. I think what we have to talk about when we talk about the Wizards and Pacers game, we have to talk about the Wizards in the first half and their inability to protect the basketball. So the Wizards actually had 10 turnovers as a team in the first half. And the worst thing about it was the fact that most of those turnovers were of the live ball variety. So you had Bradley Beal and Isaiah Thomas, you know, the two starting guards for the Wizards, the primary ball handlers. And, you know, they were just giving the ball up either on a live dribble, having the Pacers steal the ball from them, or Thomas and Beal were both making very poor passes, really poor decisions on passes, and just were giving the ball away and allowing Indiana to get a steal and drive down, and those were leading to a lot of fast break layups on the Pacers' part. You know, the Wizards, they just don't really have the luxury of being able to turn the ball over at that rate with the talent level that this team has. You know, this is the type of team where, you know, they almost need to come out and play in, you know, the perfect conditions in order to put themselves in the position to win the basketball game. You know, I think that it really starts at the top, and it starts with Bradley Beal, who, you know, if you didn't watch the game and you just looked at the box score, you know, you might say to yourself, man, that Bradley Beal, he looks to be, you know, right where he left off with this all-star production. He had 30 points. And, you know, but if you look at the box score a little more closely, you'll see that, you know, he took 29 shots to get his 30 points. And really, that's because Brad has been struggling mightily from the three-point line this season. Yesterday, he shot an abysmal 1 for 12 from three-point range. And you know, we really have to look at the fact that, you know, Brad has kind of struggled with his three-point shot over the last couple of seasons. You know, this is a guy who, you know, came into the NBA, and I think that he was really known as a sharpshooter. And, you know, I think that the comparison that everybody makes, that they've been making, is comparing him to Ray Allen. And Brad has even, you know, kind of leaned into that comparison. And Ray Allen himself has leaned into that comparison. And you know, he made a trip to Wizards practice 2 weeks ago, where he talked to the team about, you know, watching their nutrition and taking care of their bodies in order to have long NBA careers. And on that visit, Ray Allen spent a lot of time talking with Bradley Beal about shooting the basketball. So what I'm looking at right now with Beal is we're looking at a guy who is a career 38% three-point shooter, but this year he's only shooting 28%. And I know that it's a small sample size because he's only played 7 games so far. But, I mean, we're looking at Beal, his three-point attempts are up to 9.4 three-point attempts per game. But he's only hitting 2.7 attempts per game at 28%. And this is even down from a guy who shot 35% last season from three-point range. You know, this is a guy who Bradley Beal, I believe, is really turning into more of a scorer than a shooter. And I don't think that, you know, that's something that the Wizards should want from him. I think that, you know, he is a great scorer, but the Wizards also need him to be the sharp shooter for this team. And so when you look at yesterday's game, I mean, Beal was coming out there and not really hitting the shots that, you know, a superstar player or superstar sharpshooter would be hitting in the game. You know, his 1-for-12 from three-point range really hurt the Wizards the most because of the timing of a lot of those misses. You know, during that same stretch of play that I was talking about, where, you know, the Pacers didn't score a point from the 4-minute mark of the third quarter all the way to about the 10-minute mark of the third quarter, you know, they were just sitting there stuck on 94 points. And the Wizards, you know, they would score a couple of points. They would get the lead down to 20. And then the Wizards themselves, they would get 4 straight stops and then not score the basketball. You know, then they would get the lead down to 16 or 14. And this is when, you know, the point where Beal had ample opportunities to hit a couple of three-point shots and really get the team back in the game. So, you know, Beal, he had a couple of open looks from corner threes, wide open corner threes. You know, he would shoot a three, miss. Thomas Bryant would get the rebound. They'd kick it right back to Beal, and he'd miss again. And while I love Bradley Beal's game, and while I think that he has been much improved over the last 2 or 3 seasons, you know, especially the last 2 where he has actually been an NBA All-Star in the Eastern Conference, you know, I think that there is a separation between, you know, a player like Bradley Beal and a guy, a perennial All-NBA player and MVP candidate, and James Harden. The difference between Beal and James Harden is that while Beal can have explosive outputs for games, it's not nearly as consistent as a guy like James Harden, who, you know, on a almost consistently nightly basis is coming out and scoring 30-plus points. And, you know, in situations where, you know, his teammates don't have it, you know, James Harden is coming out and he's scoring 49 points, 50 points, doing, you know, against the Wizards, 60-plus points, doing whatever it is he has to do to put the team on his back in order to, you know, put the team in a position to win. And just right now, Bradley Beal isn't putting the team on his back. He's playing well. He's having good games. But there's a difference between, you know, playing well and playing at an all-star level and putting the team on your back and playing at an all-NBA level and, you know, putting your team in a position where, you know, they have a chance to win versus a good Indiana team on the road. You know, the Wizards were never really going to have an opportunity to win this game if Bradley Beal didn't play like an all-NBA superstar type of player. And so Bill struggled mightily in this game. And, you know, the other his starting backcourt mate, Isaiah Thomas, he also struggled. So and we're looking at Isaiah Thomas, who shot 3 for 10 from the floor and also had 3 turnovers in the game. But, you know, when we're looking at Isaiah, we have to talk about his lack of scoring since he's been inserted into the starting lineup. So he played against the Pistons, and he started, and he only scored 9 points. And against Indiana last night, he only had 10 points. And so we're looking at a guy who is, you know, averaging 9.5 points a game as a starter, but he was averaging 16 points a game coming off the bench. You know, 16 points a game coming off the bench. That was really big for the Wizards. You know, that really allowed the Wizards to have that scoring punch that they really needed in order to compete, you know, with the bench mob, the bench unit for the Wizards coming in and playing so well. Isaiah Thomas was a part of that. And now with his scoring being gone from the lineup, we're looking at, you know, guys like Ish Smith, who are, you know, he's a good point guard and running the team and getting others involved, but he's not a guy who's going to be able to come in and score a good amount of points for the team and allow them to the bench unit to kind of stay in these games. You know, also, I want to take a look at another starting lineup decision that Scott Brooks probably should look at, but first, I want to tell you guys about MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. Because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so I was just sitting here talking about, you know, a starting lineup decision that Scott Brooks probably needs to go ahead and make. You know, I want to thank Isaac Bonga for his service so far as a Wizard through the first 7 games of the season. But in reality, it's time for him to probably go to the bench. And, you know, Scott Brooks should start either CJ Miles or Troy Brown Jr. At the small four position. Now, if it were me, I would probably start the veteran CJ Miles first, even though Troy Brown Jr. Is probably a better basketball player right now. But it just makes more sense to have a guy like Troy Brown who brings a little bit of energy and is definitely more explosive as a basketball player at this point. It would just be better to have a guy like him coming off the bench right now. CJ Miles is a veteran player, and he really is a sharp shooter when it comes to his three-point range. And so I think that a guy like that would fit perfectly next to Brad and Rui. And that two-man game that Brad and Thomas Bryant run, I just think that CJ Miles' shooting would be perfect for the current Wizards starting five lineup. And I think that Troy Brown Jr. would just be more conducive to playing winning basketball coming off of the bench right now. So if I were Scott Brooks, I actually would start CJ Miles at small forward, and then I would have Troy Brown Jr. continuing to come in his current role as, you know, the kind of combo guard slash small forward slash spark plug off the bench, and you know, just allowing him to come in and really give the starters a little bit of rest. He brings that jolt of energy on the defensive end. And so, yeah, I really think that I would start CJ Miles. And either way, if Brooks doesn't want to start CJ Miles and he wants to start Troy Brown Jr., I think that that would be a perfectly okay decision as well. And, you know, as long as Isaac Bonga, you know, doesn't really have the responsibility of being a 19-year-old kid and coming out and trying to guard, you know, the team's best wing defenders. I like Bonga and I like everything that he's done for the Wizards so far, but he's not ready to be put in that position right now. And so you have to look at it from the Wizards' perspective, is either they're going to be trying to win basketball games, and if that's the edict, then they need to play their best lineups. And that includes playing Troy Brown Jr. and CJ Miles the majority of the 48 minutes at the small four position. Isaac Bonga, we learned this week that the correct pronunciation, his mother pronounces his name as Isak. So that's his name. His mama called him Isak, so his name is Isak. But Isak Bonga, he really, you know, he's played well as a guy who is a 19-year-old rookie playing for the first time in the NBA. But in all actuality, you know, the Wizards, if they want to compete, they need to be playing Troy Brown Jr. and CJ Miles at that small four position. You know, Bonga can sit on the sidelines and learn. And in the case of an emergency, you know, when Troy Brown Jr. and CJ Miles, who both miss all of training camp, you know, in a case of an emergency, Bonga has certainly proven that he can play and even start in certain situations. But I think we have to look at what Scott Brooks is, you know, incapable of doing as a head coach. And that's been flexible with his rotations and his lineup decisions. Now, Scott Brooks, he gets into these modes where, you know, he sees something that he likes, and, you know, then he kind of just rolls with it just because, I mean, he doesn't really know any better. He doesn't have any feel as a head coach. And so a lot of times what happens is, you know, players will, you know, play well for 10-minute stretches, and instead of, you know, Scott Brooks going back to his normal rotation and, you know, allowing the players to get into a rhythm with, you know, how they're going to be rotated into the lineups, Scott Brooks will just, if a player gets hot, he'll just let them just stay out there. You know, even if a player gets hot, if the team is, you know, playing, you know, a certain way for an extended stretch, you know, Scott Brooks will just let that lineup just roll out there for a little bit and really not change anything at all. And, you know, what happens is that he just forgets about certain players who need to be on the court. You know, there was a stretch in yesterday's game in the fourth quarter where, you know, Troy Brown had played only 12 minutes throughout the game. I mean, it was like 4 minutes left in the ball game. And, you know, I remember me tweeting this out that, you know, Troy Brown has only played 12 minutes. And, you know, that's really unacceptable when you think about the fact that Troy Brown really is coming off of the best game of his basketball career. Last game against the Detroit Pistons in the win, Troy Brown Jr. finished with 14 points and 10 rebounds, literally his first double-double as an NBA player. And, you know, this is a guy who played, you know, around 700 minutes last season. He was playing behind guys like Ron Baker and Sam Decker, who are not even in the NBA at this point. Those guys are playing in Russia right now. And Troy Brown Jr. had to sit on the bench last year as a rookie and watch those guys play in front of him. And now this year, it's kind of the exact opposite, where Troy Brown is the veteran player. He's got to sit on the bench and watch, you know, Isak Bonga start over him and play minutes in the second half, and Troy Brown Jr. not getting any second half minutes. He's watching, you know, CJ Miles played the majority of the minutes in the second half. And that's honestly, I mean, that's just bad coaching on Scott Brooks' part. You know, we have to call it what it is. And I like Scott Brooks very much as a person. But, I mean, if we're being honest here, he hasn't been a good coach in his tenure as a Wizard. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he makes a lot of poor lineup decisions on a consistent basis. You know, Brooks is not very good at having a feel for the game and knowing when to put in his veteran players. You know, and so when you look at a guy like Rui, who, you know, while he didn't score the basketball, he only played 21 minutes yesterday. And, you know, I had commented last week that, you know, now that CJ Miles is back, it's good that the Wizards have a decent 10-man rotation. But just because they have a 10-man rotation doesn't mean that the minutes are supposed to be evenly distributed amongst all 10 of the players. You know, there needs to be some type of pecking order here. And that includes making sure that a guy, a young developing player like Troy Brown Jr., who has really shown nothing but positive signs as a basketball player since he's been in the NBA, that, you know, he needs to get consistent minutes. You can't have games where you're going into the late fourth quarter and he's only logged 12 minutes as a player. I mean, that simply cannot happen. I'm looking at Scott Brooks, and a lot of that is his fault. And he has to do a better job of having a better feel and knowing when to put back in his players. The Wizards, they're going to be coming back on Friday, and they're going to be playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so that's a game that, you know, the Wizards pretty much have to have at this point of the season, with a 2-5 record, playing literally one of the worst teams in home. You know, the biggest thing about the game from a fan's perspective is that's the Wizards concert series night, and that's go-go night. And so you're going to have the backyard band performing after the game, and along with EU, who is most famous for the song The Butt. So we're going to be doing The Butt after the Wizards hopefully get a win Friday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I'm going to do another Locked On Wizards podcast tomorrow. I'm going to do a preview of the Capitol sound I have on my guy Dakota Schmidt from Ridiculous Upside, the SB Nation blog. And we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about the Capital City Go-Go, who also opened their season. But I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow previewing that. But I will also see you guys Friday after the Cleveland Cavaliers come to D.C. and take on the Wizards. Thank you guys for listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. And hopefully we'll have more positive news to talk about on a later date.
Like Gilbert Arenas. Now I'm chilling back, giving advice. I buy my girl shit, it don't matter the price. They see that I'm taking, they try getting pants. Label money, I just tell in advance. I ain't cheating, I'm just trying to dance. She just trying to have me up in the trance. I'm in a struggle like fuck it. They just trying to make some buckets. Love when I slapped on my ones, but it bounced like a ball when I struck it. So if you ever see a real nigga like me, just let them live and just be how it be. Go to the club with them two and you'll see. With a J, we be on the same team.
I wanna ball like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean.
when I'm blowing on the net. Girl, she went shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I want a ball, I like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, she went shot for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean.